Okay, welcome to the Wednesday, September 5th, 2018 Clean Water Commission Advisory Board meeting. We will start with roll call. Brendan?
Here.
Jeremy?
Here.
Michelle?
Here.
David?
Here.
Holly?
Ready?
Mark? The dog too. Josh?
Here.
And Janice is not present. Okay, has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes from the last meeting, July? Are there any comments on the revisions or questions?
It looks like a great meeting.
It was a busy one.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Public comments. We have no one in the audience tonight. So we'll move right to Eric in the Clean Water Division outreach.
Okay. Well, we were at the Clark County Fair kind of last minute this year, which is great. One of the things I discovered at the fair, at the River Ramble, where they have this really nicely painted floor, is that, in fact, I believe our artist might be in the house, which is cool. I was like, looking at that, I said, yes. Hey,
look at that.
Cool. So, we had a static table just because staffing is a challenge, but we had some dosage and dry materials out there. We had our trifold display, we had cans of clean water out there. I think we got about, I don't know, 30 pledges or so, which isn't too bad for the minimal staffing requirements and kind of a free pass because they needed some space to fill because I think their staffing requirements are quite demanding. So we did the Clark County Fair. We've been doing chugging along with Don't Trip and Drive, the Stormwater Partners and the Watershed Alliance to date. They've held six events and checked 248 cars, and I think we're roughly around like 6%, if I remember correctly, of the cars having the most successful event was at the Clark County Fair, so we held an event there where I think we checked out close to 70 cars and found 10% of them at least. And so that's the number that we were expecting to find. I think in future years, we kind of need to get some of those numbers up, so in future years we'll be trying to get more volunteers out of these events. That's kind of been a little bit of a bottleneck for us, but we're piloting a lot of the different types of events and where the locations are best suited and some different formats. We are probably going to make one, maybe two more events this year with the Corwin Beverage and maybe the Unitarian Church.
When we're doing the when the inspections or the look-sees for the cars that consent to be looked at are done, what kind of statistics and things are we keeping about them? Are we learning that newer cars are less of a problem and older cars are more of a problem? I mean, which is kind of what we would expect, or?
Yes. Other than that, which we kind of expected, we haven't found any patterns. Our sample size is still a little bit small. You know, I think it's really rewarding to go up and talk to a person and, oh, I know I'm a movie, but go ahead and check it out. Which happened a couple times at the fair. You can definitely tell sometimes, you know, the clunker comes up and, okay, check this. Oh, yeah. Some people know. Some people just know, and they'll tell you right off the bat, okay, well, let's test it, and we need a coupon to go to one of these fair shops and get a discount and take some action. We're trying to encourage. And so we're still getting back some data from Q3 from the shops, from the auto shops. That's been a little bit of a challenge from what I understand. I mean, the Watershed Alliance, a lot of hand-holding with the shops. Obviously, they're not here to do just that. It's kind of a low priority. But they are participating. Some of them are participating really well. Art Morris, I believe, up in Battleground is doing really well, with, you know, keeping the log. And turning them in on time. So that's really nice to see. We have about 12 of the 15 required shops now. They still need a few more shops lined up to participate in the program. And I think some of that might have changed say when they reach out following a few more. Let's see, so we got a really, I got this cool thing the other day, and I haven't played around with it a whole lot, but I'm hoping to make some more video shorts about various topics for social posting and just kind of outreach collateral videos kind of king right now on the internet. So I got one of these gimbals, one of these kind of handheld stabilizers. So I'm really looking forward to playing with that and getting a little bit creative. It's always hard to find the time and actually doing a whole bunch of stuff to make space for that creative thing, but hopefully I can start to do some new things with that. Some upcoming events that we have the Watershed Festival, which is going to be at Klein Nine Pond, which is hosted by the Columbia Springs. That's going to be on September 28th, and I think about 500 or so fourth and fifth graders come out to learn about various topics. There's about 10 or so organizations. There's like a, you know, a salmon obstacle course put out by CPU. Urban forestry is there to talk about trees and all things watershed. And so if you do want to volunteer at that event, I think they are looking for help kind of facilitating and making sure things go smoothly with that as many students at one event. It's September 8th and 29th, actually. So it's a Friday and Saturday. Thursday and Friday. So that is the 28th and 29th. Yeah, Holly?
I was going to ask about, there was a recent algae bloom, I believe, in Clanline. Is that going to be something that's going to be discussed?
Maybe it will come up. And I should correct those dates, 27th and 28th. But that won't be the focus
of course.
In May, and there's been some, I think, in Vancouver late, too, which may be bad, but I do recall something about public health saying that they might be eligible for a grant to help, you know, some water quality issues if there is one.
Yeah.
Might be a silver lining.
Will you send an email to about the volunteers needed for the 28th to 29th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a, sorry, 27th and 28th, I should say.
27th and 28th.
It's the Watershed Festival. And so that's by with Columbia Springs.
Awesome.
I'll email about that. And then on October 4th is the Green School Summit, which Andrea and I designed a scavenger hunt, a stormwater scavenger hunt for Clark College, where we've been kind of, I should have brought that, but, you know, looking at different things, talking about runoff and impervious surfaces and, you know, where did that water go, made a rubbing of stormwater marker, and so that should be fun. We're not guaranteed that we're going to have this activity. We're kind of submitting the activity to the Green School program, and then they, with a little blurb, and then they kind of send it off to the teachers, and then the teachers indicate that that's a topic or an activity that they want to participate in, then we'll go, and if not, then not. The Green School program is primarily focused on solid waste issues, even though there are some water components. So we'd love to be able to have this kind of activity in kids outdoors. So fingers crossed on that. We have, I'll pass these around just so you guys can have a look. This is kind of like a teaser. But these are just a couple of the grant ideas that we have for Stormwater Partners this year for the Clean Water Restoration Fund grant. The grant just opened today. The grant amount is for $150,000, which is $3,000 more than it was last year. So we had a couple ideas. One of them kind of pulling up something that we had discussed a lot in Stormwater Partners last year, around the time of the Gross Ecology Grant, which was a grant of regional and statewide significance. And that was for stormwater facility maintenance materials and outreach. There's a lot of challenges that all jurisdictions face when working with owners of private stormwater facilities, which carry maintenance responsibilities. part of it is that the owners don't always know their owners. The other part of it is that the materials right now are very technical, and so there's a big knowledge gap there about the who, what, why. And so we're hoping to bridge that gap and really make it easier for residents to understand what they need to be doing and how to do it. Kind of a little bit about how Stormwater Partners started, but what Stormwater Partners, how it started, is really kind of describing what the features are. And so we have some good foundation there, but now we kind of want to take that next step about, okay, now that you've got them, you know what they are, here's what you get to do with it. Here's how to make sure that this investment is functioning as intended. And of course, it's a big challenge for to even find out who the owners are. So you can see some of the different ideas that we have, and we want to have a focus group to understand the most effective messaging, get some printed materials, some videos, possibly a virtual tour of some of the most common facilities so people can understand what the different elements are. We'd like to have maybe some kind of like a database or a web portal where you could put in your facility ID number or some indicator, and you can get some relevant information about your facility. That's that may be a challenge for all the jurisdictions participating in, because everybody kind of accepts information in different ways. And, you know, we have it all of ours through, I think, Tidemark, an online database, but some of the other jurisdictions are still, you know, writing through that paper, kind of photocopying and PDFs and stuff. So one of the things that we like about the database idea is being able to kind of allow people understand at their fingertips, hey, is my facility in compliance? Are there defects that were found? What do my inspections say? Where a lot of times that's not really well known among the HOA. And then we're also investigating with like a training program for some of these landscapers and contractors who are doing work in these facilities, and possibly training them on best management practices for the maintenance, and through that type of training, kind of give recognition or certification is a big word, but something a little bit less.
That's amazing.
So maybe, you know, if we have a roster right now of like companies that can do this type of maintenance, but it would be nice to kind of recognize and put the people at the top that have taken the next step to do it right. And we also think that potentially could be another tool in the effort to engage homeowners. You know, of course, these private businesses being incentivized to, you know, stay in touch with these HOAs and say, hey, you know, we know the maintenance schedule just like you do, and you're due, so let's get this done.
Hey, Eric.
Yeah.
So the county actually just opened up two maintenance positions for taking care of the stormwater drainage systems in North Clark County. I applied for one of them. And I'm not sure, but I don't know what kind of training that they have that they're going to be just going, you know, off the cuff on this one, but that's probably something that would be so beneficial to the people that are either, you know, I'm not sure how qualified the folks were that applied for this job. I'm sure they were more qualified than me, but, you know, it's a passion of mine, but I know that would come in handy because there's a lot of those things that even, you know, I would like to know, I know all of us would like to know. You know, how these things work, and that's something that I would need to know if I was going to, you know, if that position was going to be offered to me. I know they just offered two positions that just came up a couple months ago, so that's wonderful. I'd like to know more about that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, and, you know, just there's a lot of information on Stormwater Partners' website for kind of, you know, learning about the verbiage and the names of some of the different facility elements and kind of the intention behind each one.
Okay.
And then, yeah, I'm not sure where they are with, I don't think they've announced any hires yet, so.
Karen, one other question. It seems with some of these issues that having a dedicated communications link or email location or one contact for agency or something like that,
yeah,
for the folks who participate in the training or related to the signs would be really good. Almost not exactly a chat room because you can't have somebody dedicated to it. But to answer questions, because when people get into it, it generates more questions.
Yeah.
So is that a possibility?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the pieces of information we'd like to have on the web portal, for example. You know, hey, I got this letter. So it starts with a letter, right?
Yeah.
You've been inspected, and we found a few defects here that we got to fix it. Go to this link, put in your facility ID number, and you can find information in that would be, you know, the defect, and also a number of leading contact for their local jurisdiction.
Yeah, I know that at the Neighborhood Association meeting that we attended, there were people who hadn't received any mailing, but were interested in how they can better steward the systems that they have nearby, you know, before getting that. So if it's on the website, that would be helpful.
Yeah. And we're also thinking about, you know, a lot of the stormwater facilities have a sign, that kind of a generic sign that was developed by the stormwater department years ago. And I was talking to Camus, and they were saying, you know, we've got these signs, and they sent me what sign they have, and I didn't recognize it, you know, the predated the ones that were in the last stormwater department's iteration. And they said, they're color-coded, but everyone forgets what their color-coded means, you know, what the code is, and they're supposed to designate which ones are private and which ones are, you know, public, so kind of designate who owns this. So I thought, well, maybe we have, you know, incorporated in this a little kind of tag sign underneath that says, you know, this facility is owned and maintained by, you know, kind of to show ownership very clearly, and that's a big challenge, and I know that there's a lot of chasing around and trying to figure out, you know, who is this HOA? A lot of these HOAs are, you know, doesn't know where to count.
Was this grant?
I was wondering if the grant was already curtailed to this program, or this is what you were drafting out of, like, what we're going to do with the funds.
This grant, the grant is to address, like, stormwater and water quality things in Wire 28. And so this was an idea that the stormwater department felt very strongly about and had for a while. The one caveat to the grant is that it can't fill any permanent requirements. And so, you know, since we already are fulfilling permanent requirements with what we're doing, we're fully, you know, checking all those boxes, this is kind of something that we feel like we can develop and just enhance that, which I think is the direction we're going in a lot of ways. So, we'll see. We'll have a meeting with them, with the Lower Columbia Fish Recovery Board next Wednesday, where we kind of get to pitch our ideas to the staff there. They give us some feedback and have a discussion about, you know, they basically tell us a little bit about what might be a good idea or where we can strengthen some different areas. So I look forward to having that meeting. And they might have some good things. I've already spoken to Denise about it a little bit, but...
So there may be other ways to, besides, well, I think having location identifiers is kind of a good thing. All locations can be identified by, you know, latitude, longitude, GPS kind of coordinates. But it may also be valuable to have an ability for people in the public to go to a map that has identification markings on it, to go in there and to look at a map and say, oh, that's the 3 blocks from my house. I want to know more about that. Mm-hmm. Without necessarily having to traipse over there and look for a sign.
Yeah.
And that might be something that could be done on a, maybe even a zip code kind of a basis.
Yeah.
Some other kind of a thing that would be valuable to consider. I'd certainly do that.
Well, that's a great segue.
You can love maps.
The other project that we have, the proposal that we have, you guys have probably all seen these watershed signs. I know that when I first moved here, and I've never been up here, I can't tell you how many times I drove by that sign. And it's just a sign. So you actually read it, and you drive slow enough to read it and understand it, and then you can't miss it, you know? And so a lot of these signs were put up. There was a big push to put these up in the 90s, the mid-90s, and a lot of them are either missing or damaged or, you know, some are in good shape, but you know, a lot of them are missing or damaged. And there's other areas that provide opportunities where a sign is not being designed. Neither would streets cross a named stream, basically. And so, you know, this is for revitalizing these signs. That's part of it, okay? So we're going to take an inventory of how many signs and where they can be, and then, you know, which ones need to be cleaned, which ones need to be replaced, which ones are totally missing and need to be reinstalled, where opportunities to put a new one. But the other part about it that I'd like to do is just to kind of raise awareness of what the signs are so that people can't unknow what that sign means. To kind of put a context in that. And so part of that is, you know, some social marketing, maybe on social media or some different campaigns that we have, some outreach campaigns about what this sign is and what it means, get people to understand their place in the watershed. To go with that, to circle back around, one of the things that I'm really excited about doing and incorporating this is to have an interactive watershed map where people could, you know, find their address, find out information about, you know, what watershed are they in, what sub-watershed are they in, what are some of the characteristics of this watershed, what are the fish that, some high-priority fish that are in this stream crossing, a new stream here, what are some of the water quality indicators from the stream health report that we can incorporate into this this map. And so really trying to you know, drive people from some of these marketing campaigns to this map, which we've done on the external part of the website, where people can really find a sense of place in their watershed and also find information about things that they can do specific to their watershed, about, you know, improving watershed, protecting watershed health, maybe even finding about stormwater facilities. So that, these are the two, and I welcome if you guys can look through these and offer any feedback.
In that regard, when new signs are created, will you put some kind of a web address or a link that somebody could see it on there? More information, go to this link.
Yeah, maybe it's a good idea to put like some parking website or something.
Yeah.
I really like the idea of the interactive watershed maps. They're really effective communication learning tools. There's also something that to think about as kind of a next step after the interactive watershed map is story maps, where you go to a location and it tells you what's going on there. It can be a "this is a problem" kind of story, or it can be a "there was a problem and here's how, you know, regular people doing regular changes fixed it" kind of thing. So for example of that, I know you look at my Facebook page, because you said it before when I shared your stuff. But I just put a thing up today from the Oregon Environmental Council about harmful algae blooms.
Okay.
So it's a story map set up for Oregon, but it's very relevant, as Holly mentioned, Vancouver Lake and Conway Pond having harmful algae blooms this year.
Yeah.
So that'll be like the last post on my Facebook feed, and you'll be able to catch that Oregon Environmental Council story map. And so that's a good model for sort of the next step. And then also there's kind of some graphical storytelling maps that the Natural Resources Conservation Service has been doing that includes stories in Oregon, I think Washington. But you can check that out for another idea about what sort of using words and visuals communicate.
Yeah.
And I think that would be kind of a good, once you start getting people interested, to have that additional level of information and communication.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I was just talking to the GIS guy today, and he told me about these SV story maps, and sent me over a few, and they were really neat to look at. And I'm trying to think, you know, once you get in the story map, it's a little bit linear, you know, but so I'm trying to think, you know, but I really like the idea of like how graphical it is, so
yeah, I'm
trying to think about how to maybe even combine like a more kind of dynamic watershed map with these stories.
Yeah, because you could have an ability for people to click on the map to get these characteristics here, but you can also have spots flagged where there's sort of like a story on that spot in addition to the information about that location, what's going on here or what happened here.
So,
this
we have story maps of the projects that we do for the district. So it's a pin. You click on the pin, and it opens up like a PDF, and it tells you about the project, and you could put, but you can do a lot, you know, you can interact that way. By having the pins is kind of nice because someone can just click on it,
yeah,
and it opens up, and that's who they're seeing.
Yeah, that's
a neat
idea. I know, I really like the story maps. In my mind, I was thinking more like how, you know, having a map that you can click on a little pop-up window or something.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
how the story kind of takes over the whole screen.
Pop-up window is something like, you know, so you can do that with whatever and what she said. And in addition, even if you don't click on a pin, you can click on another location. So it can be just a watershed based information. That's part of it, I guess, which I think is excellent.
Yeah.
You might also time and date stamp both because you can update them. If you make them updatable, people are assuming, what's going on with this? I wonder when it'll be done.
Yeah, I know. And that's one thing, like, you know, I love the Google Maps user interface. It's just so usable, and people aren't intimidated by it at all. But the one drawback to that kind of map, when I'm speaking to the GIS guys, you know, harder to update it. You know, you have to, you know, upload that all that data set in order to be able to, you know, change or something. Whereas if it was tied to our GIS system, it could be more stable and updated. You know,
yeah.
Which I feel like, right? You don't want to set something up forever.
Well, it, you know, you said you wanted to see more community involvement, that you wanted to see more dynamic engagement, that you wanted to see more dynamic movement around a site that would provide that kind of a function. And there are probably members, I mean, given the number of people that have their phones nowadays and some of the things that they've done at the city of Vancouver, you know, I see a pothole, blah, 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 right? It needs to come in. Well, people in the community might go to a particular place, and there may be a way to engage the community in that, alleviating that whole notion of uploading crap on, you know, onto the system from, you know, somebody internal. Although I would still probably suggest, you know, moderating it so that way, you know, you're not getting material that doesn't belong there. I mean, you don't, right? You don't want illicit material or
right.
illegal material making it through in a way that could be, you know, hitting the general public. But it might be a way to engage, you know, people in the community to without reduce or while at the same time reducing the manual interaction that has to occur by somebody that works for the county.
So it's source control.
You've got to, man, you've got to have it moderated.
Yeah, that's a neat idea.
You know, I mean, you don't want pictures of something that don't belong there.
Right.
You don't want text with inappropriate comments there. But, you know, if there's something salient that, and significant, you know, it might be a value-added way to encourage the community to participate.
Good suggestions.
Another thing, I really like your numerical goals here, 200,000 impressions and 3,000 website page views. You might add in that period of time. Is that over a year? Is that over the life of a, you know, or what?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be, these are typically like 2-year grants that they run for, so. Yeah, this is still a draft, so.
And having those measurable goals.
Yeah.
I'd be curious about any future brainstorming on this one, particularly the facilities, because it seems to tie in a lot with the conversations we had with Carrie and here and this whole process of trying to catalog that, okay, we've got some tracked over here and some over here, and then a bunch of untracked at all. Is there a way to start coming together on it?
Yeah,
there's a resource to put the time into trying to get a copy of the database.
That's a good point. And I wonder, I mean, part of the challenge with this, with that database idea, is like Clark County has the resources and technology to do a little bit more than Babylon, for example, you know, who might not have an electronic or a digital input method, or Vancouver might have a different one, you know. So that's kind of one thing that, as I send this out to the partners, I'm getting a little bit of, I like everything except for, I don't know how we're going to do that. But
given that you're working on the county level, would a grant like this, if you were mapping it, limit you from mapping, say, Vancouver's jurisdiction?
No, it won't. Because, well, no. I mean, they're going to be a partner in this project, so you know, I'm expecting a letter of support from them, and they want to do this kind of thing. So we I think already have on our GIS layer, City of Vancouver, the stormwater infrastructure, and the experiments. I don't know if we have Washington Battleground.
I think you have Battlegrounds because I looked at the layers.
Okay.
You have their storm.
Yeah, so so a lot of that information is already there. I think where it might get challenging to what you're saying is kind of that maybe the level of specificity what we can get to at the county might be different, but maybe not. Or maybe there is a place that we can like find that. And I think it's a great idea to be able to like synergize Carrie's efforts. And I know he really is fully on board and very supportive of this, but you know, I hadn't talked to him about, you know, how we could make something that would start here bigger, which is a great idea.
It would be great to be a tool for that. I mean, the citizens aren't operating necessarily in the jurisdictions that we're having to, so the various municipalities, nor is the water. So it would be great to have kind of a clearinghouse database that all of this kind of links together through those partnerships.
Yeah.
Right. The water doesn't know when it changes jurisdiction.
and eventually, you know, having that database was really popular too. Bob Patterson really liked that idea. He does a lot of business with the source control, saying, you know, maybe we could expand this. You know, if we got this kind of infrastructure set up, maybe you can go after another grant from ecology. Seems like more source control money from ecology. But for non-solutional businesses, you know, could they perhaps get a grant to kind of expand this to the business community too? Yeah, that's another good idea.
When I was thinking the other day, with so many of the conversations we have and the years that I have been involved in different things, how often there's a lot of different organizations doing little bits of the same thing, and I was trying to find that crossover for the synergy, so like something like that would be nice. And back to what Carrie was talking about with working with the businesses, to instead of having to go to them and say, that thing in the back, you're responsible for it, you're not in compliance, and there's a whole bunch of questions, it would be a lot nicer to have a tool and a resource to point directly to that shows that and starts getting in touch with funding options and approach options and contract.
Yeah.
Usually a central point to start with.
Yeah.
Maybe more than the bank to cover, maybe you're able to lay the foundation.
Yeah, well, the nice thing too is I know the City of Vancouver got a grant to do some facility outreach, and so part of their grant includes some money to do HOA outreach, so they will be able to go out and get that a grant from ecology. So this could kind of piggyback on that pretty well for their jurisdiction. And we are trying to hire another carrier, so should have a little more person power there too.
Two positions?
Two, one.
It'll carry. But
if you guys have other ideas, or you know, even if it's something like, hey, I just think this would be a great idea, even though it's not ready for this grant round, send it to me. So we're always looking for more ideas. This idea with the watershed science, I can credit to Rod Swanson. Now let me bother this one, Carrie. Making use of the city and kind of incremental
for the facility maintenance outreach, and this is pretty similar to what came up last year for the ecology plan.
Right.
Did you ever get any feedback on that from ecology?
We ended up not submitting. No, we did submit that one.
Yeah, that one was submitted.
Yeah, no, we didn't get a whole lot.
But about the competition is pretty severe.
Yeah, the competition is tough. And some people speculate that maybe ecology kind of has kind of built into our
farm. Yeah.
I didn't know whether it was that. Yeah, so we didn't get a whole lot of feedback on that.
There were a lot of applicants for the top.
Yeah, there were a lot.
Yeah.
It was very competitive. It's a statewide.
Yeah.
Now, these will have, after this year, there will be two more years of these grants, especially. So, like I said, if you guys have some ideas, I'm all ears.
I think there are plenty of opportunities to build one if you get one, if you fund it. You know, for example, then you could build out the interactive map, or you could,
right.
You know, you could build out the database of the facilities.
Yeah.
You know, so, and, you know, the I think they like leveraging that kind of thing, especially if you can get a match from somewhere else.
Right. And we're kind of looking for some projects that are going to be a little bit lower, lower level managing, you know, less time requirements. You know, I'm sure they can do a fair amount with Don't Human Drive, but
serving grad students and work-study students and stuff like that. And some of the clerical stuff is just figuring out what facility is this and how does it relate, you know, what's the easiest way to upload it.
Yeah.
And be done.
Yeah.
You know, with something like that, and you learn a lot about systems. So.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, you can go to involved. Oh yeah, I mean, well, like we're thinking about the sign project, and the one question that we don't have any good answers for, and we have a few ideas, but who would install the sign? You know, if you know anyone, a contractor or someone that you think would be well suited for that, send them my way.
Sure, your paperwork says otherwise, but I bet you can find a college student again to put them on.
Yeah. I mean, there's sort of like the going out and the assessing them. And right now, I've gone up the main stem of Salmon Creek and assessed all the signs just on street view. Some of the street view are from 2012. And I've done, you know, Cougar Studs and Tenney Creek. But, that's kind of an initial.
Find us some Eagle Scouts, that means.
Yeah.
Potential Eagle Scouts.
Well, yeah. And the Eagle Scouts have been putting up some of our watershed signs around Tenney Creek. The only concern that I have about the Eagle Scouts would just be that the safety on the roadside and some of the roads. And also, like, the continuity of it. But that's, like, the only thing I shy away from there is, like, then I'm managing volunteers and trying to get this project done. But they haven't been doing a lot for us already.
Do you analyze signs by doing Street View, the way you did it?
I went up the Salmon Creek.
And you drove up, not using Google Street View, but you drove up the sign, or you were using?
No, I was using Google Street View.
Okay. So there's another really possible to use. It's Amazon's Turk system, T-U-R-K. I still, like a roofing contractor, the technology used the system where you pay, it's like paying for impression. Whatever the rate is, again, if you invest in a dollar, it'd be 30 cents, whatever. But you have people, what they used it for was to analyze all the roofs in Clark County and Portland area and at a certain value range. And so for $2, they got the full roofing analysis of square footage from Sam's on Turk system where people just sign into the system and there's a job to do. They do it for $2, they do it for a dollar. And they're able to get, they said 30,000 quotes out in like 2 weeks.
Wow.
People that live in a 20-year-old house or something like that, so they do that at first. So you can have something like that where
everyone will look
all these trades and whatever they have there, and they just analyze it for 50 cents per dollar or something like that.
Well, in this case, it's almost more along the lines of citizen science.
Yeah, that is
Turk. I think it's TURK.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy.
In terms of labor, it's almost like it would be nice to have an organization like Friends of Trees, you know, that organizes a Saturday to go out and do so many and have four or five teams going out and putting three or four signs.
Yeah.
And, you know, and yeah, make an event out of it, but taking advantage of volunteers that really want to do something for the community. And, you know, even if it was taking advantage of the organizational structure of Friends of Trees, you know, I mean, this is kind of a Friends of Trees sort of a thing, but it could actually generate a county-based contribution to Friends of Trees to keep their organization and partner with them, you know, or somebody like them that would be able to, you know, reach out to people that have that. And the thing about that particular group is that they're used to the idea of digging holes to put signs in. And the only difference is instead of dumping in a tree bulb, right, you're dumping in a bunch of wet concrete. I mean, it's just a thought.
Thanks for the idea.
If
you have more, please, don't
hesitate
to send it my way.
Thank you. A lot of good stuff going on. Okay, we can move into our working group updates. Oh, yes or no? Oh, I'm sorry.
So I just wanted to just briefly update everyone. So we just finished our first... we had revised our criteria for the school, for the clean water fee reduction for schools. And so Eric and I, last year, about this time, had revised criteria to hopefully make the program work a little bit cleaner and be more consistent, and also incorporate more options for schools to be able to meet the criteria. So everything was due at the end, or was due July 15th, documentation-wise, so Vancouver Public Schools were the only school district that met the criteria. They have 14 schools that have their clean water fees. But we felt like that was pretty successful. Evergreen was attempting to, but there were some glitches. So they're definitely on board for this coming year. So we feel like it was pretty successful.
Where are we? I'm assuming those criteria are already available.
Yeah, and in fact, I can send it to you. So basically, we have an educational component. And then as part of that educational component, there's a dissemination of the message or lessons learned that we need to the school community or and the parents. And then EMP training for school staff, specifically custodial staff, as well as ground staff. And then they have any stormwater facilities have to pass inspection. So, but I can also send you, we did a presentation last year, but I can send you what was part of that. And so it is only schools that are in unincorporated Clark County. Because we can't wait there.
So Vancouver ones were outside?
So Vancouver ones that participated were outside of the new Vancouver. Yeah.
But is there going to be outside of being incorporated to the new
The districts don't align with political, other political boundaries.
So are they the only school to actually accomplish this? Aren't they in Clark County?
Yeah, so 14 schools in Clark County received a waiver on their stormwater fee was waived.
Wow, that's really neat.
I think it was all but one Vancouver school in unincorporated Clark County.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that's really successful, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the amount of this?
It really varies. And that can be, I want to say off the top of my head, they probably saved about $50,000.
Okay. The entire school district saved $50,000.
Yeah, for the district. Yeah. And so that's the one thing that Eric and I have talked about a lot, is that the issue, going to the schools themselves, it's a district-wide program, because it's really the districts that actually pay the fees, and so it's the districts and their administrative staff who we started communicating with, and then if they then go and encourage their teachers and principals and more teachers to do it to the high school. So just because while a teacher may be really invested in it, that individual school may not actually, they're not going to tangibly receive anything. I don't think their system is going to provide
Okay. Thank you. Okay, so which of the groups would like to speak first? Partners or research?
I'd like to speak for partners. We had good intentions, but difficult to get in touch with people during the summer to set up appointments. So basically, we're rolling now. We have the mandate and the mission and the approach and so forth on our assignments. So
okay.
We'll have more than this.
Yeah, pretty much same with research. I think our plan is kind of looking forward between now and the next month. The next meeting we should have a review of the bylaws to look at, and then we're reassigning some of our responsibilities based on the priorities that we've got. So that's kind of what our plan is going forward.
Okay. I know for outreach, we're kind of the same boat. Busy summer. Plan to meet up again and continue to work on our goals. I have been going to the NACA meetings, and the one in August was on partnering with the school's resources, which is very interesting. And I am leaving out of town tomorrow, so I won't be able to make the September 10th one. It's going to be on home safety and emergency preparedness. Sounds pretty interesting topic, so if someone could be there for me, I'd appreciate it. And then I think Michelle and Mark and I need to talk about the advisory board goals, and we'll get that on the table too, because it's been a pretty busy summer. We'll get rolling again.
If you can get me the details on that,
I certainly can. That's all I have. Should we talk about our stormwater facility?
Sure. So at the end of last meeting, Brendan was bringing up some ideas potentially for our field trip, maybe looking at the Curtain Creek area and also Van Gaddis, which was to the north of that. So that's one thought. I didn't know if anybody else had any comments or issues. And then...
Did you test Julie by chance?
Not
yet. I put a bug in her ear.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So I need to really talk to Julie. But I think the timing of it is going to need to be probably end of September or early mid-October. So I need to start getting dates together and send them out to everyone. But I just was wondering, if you could probably do that, what did you do? A while ago?
Yeah, it was three weeks ago.
Okay. Okay, cool.
October's better for me.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going to go back to October.
The 20th. Okay. So I will be emailing dates when I've got that. So it's probably going to take me about a week to get that together. And so I would say start checking next week. So these would actually be they'll both be owned by the park.
Yeah.
Because they're both, so we'd be focusing more.
Those
jobs.
Are fenced off.
Yeah, all of county, any county.
There's a few that are like tied to neighborhoods.
Thomas Wetlands.
Yeah, like Thomas Wetlands, for example, is open. But
where in the county are these two facilities mentioned?
Curtin Creek and Gaddis are right north of Patton Parkway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like confuses me. It's like 99 to 99.
That's for right in New York.
It's right down there.
I could readily arrange for it's farther away, it's not right there, but I could readily arrange for a market in East County Fire and Rescue's stormwater facility. It's right by Grove Airfield, Camas, and the radio station, station number one. And it was very overgrown and unmaintained in the district, just aimed to get it whipped back into shape, so it might actually be. I'm not sure exactly what the design is, but the water folks might know, but it looks like it's built to do more than just filter water. It might be some kind of filtration or removal practices. So just let me know about that. If you are interested, if that's a little farther away from those facilities, I can never talk to the chief
officer. Because we were talking about, who else were we talking about that then whether it would really be feasible in an afternoon? So typically we take an afternoon on a weekday, a work day, which I recognize that makes it difficult for people who are working, that it seems to, while we love it, everyone could come, it does work out fairly well. We try to do this every year, so if you can't come this year, then you can come the following year. We visit different things, different types of facilities, but, weren't we talking about something also,
no, the center area? Yeah, I may have brought that one up, but the center project is the one I'm thinking about. It's done a lot more habitat rehabilitation, which is cool. It's fun to show off, but that's more reaching the levee that they have around the river to create that habitat and these new channels, whereas Curtin Creek and Gaddis look like habitat on the surface of it, but it's a lot of the rechanneling and the regrading of it, which ends up having a whole lot of effects with the clean water. Yeah. the streams that were kind of ditched for agricultural purposes, and then you put them in the middle of an urban area. They bought the properties around them and regraded them to replicate some of that natural filtration. And on top of that, you also get a huge habitat and water out of it. So.
And is your company involved in both of those?
Mm-hmm. Both of those, yeah. Yeah, we're both working. I think it's probably our last year at Sugar Creek.
Okay. How many years have you done that?
I think Turtle Creek was planted 5 or 6 years ago.
Okay.
And Gas was planted like 1 or 2.
It'd be a great comparison too.
Yeah. Curtain Creek is like a forest. Yeah. And Gaddis is very clear that your restoration is still all the trees. You can definitely see it with Curtain Creek. Yeah. And right next to Curtain Creek is the Department of Transportation section. They use a slightly different method, so you can kind of see just the two of them.
Okay. So I'm going to keep Josh's suggestion in mind. So it could be, might be too difficult to see. I'll get it.
It's very different kind of facility. This is a more paved area. You know, lots of potential for runoff between cars going into the airfield and, you know, fire traffic over the fire station. A good contrast, but it's a little ways from Patton Park.
If we can get a van. That gives us the opportunity to talk about these as we're traveling. So.
Yeah, I usually am able to rent a van, typically from our motor pool, or we've also one time had to go through a rental enterprise rental car. So, yeah, that's definitely what we try to do.
You live out there, too.
Wait, no.
Hey, before you take off, next stormwater partner, is that October 17th?
Yes.
Okay. What time? That's it. Yeah. Is that the 10 a.m.? Noon?
I think it's 10:30 in the noon.
Okay, this one.
We're going to do a dump trip and drive to kind of work with me prior to that one, so.
Okay.
Is it at the Heritage Farms again?
Yes, I think it's
Heritage
Farms.
All of them. Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Ed.
Okay. I just want to say for the record that John did show up for the meeting at 6:37. Sorry. Hey, you're here. So is there anything that the commissioners would like to discuss as a group? Any topics?
I know in our earlier conversations we talked about, or it came up from the annual presentation that the councilor was asking about if there was any crossover with the conservation district.
Uh-huh.
And I had just seen something come through recently that the conservation district was going to be having a public hearing in one of the buildings.
Yeah.
On September 11th.
Oh.
About, you know, trying to get public input on the support and what their program is. Trying to keep it alive, and just as a citizen, it bothers me that the funding is not being supported for that, so I'm going to try to do what I can to be present with it, but I'd be curious again in the future with our partnerships, you know, what type of support there is to do with that. I think that's a great organization, and it's a bummer to not keep it supported right now.
Probably should be, it would be at 10 a.m.
I'm in agreement, and I think really it's part of our responsibility to times and agriculture and making it. Most states don't call them conservation districts, they call them soil
and water extensions.
That's really the purpose of size. It's important not just to have the things you said, but as a commission.
Yeah, I mean, a bit of history to it, for those that don't know. After the Dust Bowl, the federal government required the states to be putting resources into providing a resource to citizens for soil and water conservation, which, as we mentioned, in most of the states, that's what they call it. That's what Oregon calls it. Our company, Works Town Native Plants, works a lot with the soil and water conservation districts in Oregon, and they do a great job of funneling resources to private landowners that allow them to use contract companies like our own to come in and do work on their property. Washington doesn't have an outlet like that, and I'm often bummed that it doesn't, but the conservation district was doing a lot to try to produce that to citizens, and a lot of what they were able to implement does affect the clean water and all of it. And I think that it's kind of tricking on the duties for the county to not be providing it, so it's something that, yeah, I'm going to try to make it to speak up on that part of it, but figuring out what else we can do to support with that process.
And then what is the contrast when conservation districts in Washington have dedicated revenues to some really amazing stuff, and so if anyone wants to, I would check out what the Spokane Conservation District has done and the way they've partnered with farmers and the way they have done a lot of work to reduce soil erosion that is focused on soil health and productivity and prevention of water pollution, but was also focused on the bottom line for farmers, and they succeeded on both fronts. One program we're doing for a lot of the big cropping of grains and legumes is called, they call it direct seed, but they're basically increasing soil health and water infiltration and storage in the soil and preventing a lot of water pollution while making it a lot less expensive for farmers to operate and increasing the profits. And so, you know, that's sort of an example the other way when a conservation district has, most of them have dedicated staff, but then they can pay the staff and not spending all their time chasing grants and do some really amazing work. And so, soil erosion modeling that Spokane Conservation District did was showing that changing practices to focus on soil health was more effective in preventing water pollution and having a lot of riparian buffers. And they were able to prove it using scientific modeling. So,
this was told to me anecdotally, but the story I heard was that when the question of funding the district in our county came up, the council used the strategy of saying, well, let's do a study to see how beneficial it is. And within the timeline they had given the study to be completed, they came back, I think within a third of the amount of time they were allocated, to say, we've already proven that it well exceeds the amount of money we put into it, the benefit it gives back just financially to the county. And still there was no action on it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, how is Spokane funded? How is Spokane?
They
have special levy.
They have their levy for it. They have tax base.
You know, yeah, and I think the concern is that there's not really the tax base for it here. So that is the question. Is there, you know, a tax base? Or
they're asking for $5. They're asking for $5
per parcel.
Right. Yeah.
My understanding on it is that the way it's written is it doesn't require, it's not a new fee to put in place. It's there as one that can be turned on and off for most. It's already within, the $5 fee is already within, they already have that in there. So it's not like it's a new tax to levy on the citizens. It's,
there's already a charge for it?
They don't already have the charge, but the language for how to gain the funds for it within the county. And that's the part that I'm not clear on, but it looks like they're not, they already have that $5 per parcel in there. Perhaps you can speak to that more.
No, I'm not
familiar
with that.
Yeah,
and
that's not what I heard in our meeting with, you know, with Rod and Regina. So
it is the proposal,
exactly, the proposal, but it's not.
To add the five.
Yeah, it's additional. I'm pretty sure it is.
How does that? how does the federal law that was passed and signed into law this last year, alleviating liability for and allowing farmers, ranchers, and coal miners to pollute rivers, impact these kinds of programs?
The short answer would be it doesn't. The short answer would be it doesn't.
It does not.
No, that was a proposed. That would more affect county and state and government and federal EPA in terms
sure.
of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers in terms of defining clear jurisdictional boundaries, which is what the Clean Water Rule was about. It was really about removing some ambiguity as to which water bodies are or are not covered under the Clean Water Act. The purpose of that rule was to alleviate that unclear jurisdiction. And so in terms of conservation districts, so that's on the regulatory side of things. Conservation districts work on a voluntary and incentive basis and an educational and technical assistance basis. So the goal of both is the same, to reduce water and prevent water pollution, but one is a regulatory approach under the Clean Water Act, and the other is kind of an incentives and technical assistance approach that goes directly to landowners and farmers and foresters.
Okay.
So maybe it would be beneficial for us to get more information about and have a presentation by the conservation district.
Well, no, that's what I was going to ask, because I've been misled in being unclear on the fee. I thought that it was already in place and it was being removed. That they were. So how was it funded prior to the time?
They're being funded by grants.
Okay. So they're just asking the county now for continued funding to stay operational.
Yeah, so in Oregon, some stormwater conservation districts, they all get kind of a little bit of money.
Yeah.
A small amount of money from the state government. And then it's up to them to arrest. So the most effective stormwater conservation districts have some sort of tax funding, usually fairly modest, that allows them to have a solid base for staffing. Add grants to that, the less effective ones will just do chase the grants all the time. But usually state funding is enough to have an office in the strip mall and, you know, a half-time person who then essentially just their whole job is to chase grants to that building, that program.
Well, my motivation is the same, but it changes. I had a narrative in my head that the funding was being pulled, and that bothered me even more.
No, and there is support for continued on the council. So I think that if this is something that we think is important, I think it would behoove us to get educated on it and hear more about where this levy might go, what it really means, the comparison with Spokane and other Washington districts.
When is this meeting?
September 11th, when you said.
It should be 10, because it would be a hearing here.
Here.
In the hearing room.
Yeah.
And Clark Conservation District, they had a hearing, presented at a hearing, I want to say back in May, maybe, April or May. So I can look and see what kind of materials were available then. I know I reviewed something then, but I was not part of the committee. Dean and then Jane Kleiner were part of the committee that was reviewing the proposal. But I was able to look at a few things that were part of that. So I can see what I can find and then send it out.
And you did send me some of those
and
materials.
And I sent you some
before our meeting in June.
Yeah, and so I also just made a note to myself to at least get that out to everyone, because I couldn't remember if I only sent it to you,
I might have forwarded them before our meeting, but yeah. Okay. It would be best if we just sent them to everyone. And I also wasn't sure whether they had any other materials, any new materials, or that the proposal had changed form a little bit, or, you know, through discussion or what.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to have the latest.
Yeah, I think that they, although it sounds like a different category than what we're focused on, I don't think it is at all. I think it crosses over very well with it.
Yes, it does.
I second me.
Well, and there are a lot of, you know, financial sources for it. So, and I think part of the function of the partners group is to help if we identify important partners and they're challenged or they're about ready to go away or whatever the situation is, to be able to help in a collaborative fashion. It's not just necessarily Clark County giving money, but, you know, figuring out another way, other ways. Any issue?
I mean, you think $5 a parcel, it's a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It just seems... Who would be against that for clean water and soil?
Well, I mean, when the clean water fee was introduced at $33,
there are a lot of fees and taxes that have gone up there, so folks are pretty sensitized.
Yeah. Any other topics for the good of the group?
I looked through the materials available from the county and said the same about water. But something that I'm thinking about and wondering if we want to look into it, planning commission is often, but which will actually query bringing in proposed development, and this is proposed to be even industrial, including chemical and asphalt, so we're talking pretty major pollutant sources in an area that's mostly its own houses and clients. I believe it would be in county jurisdiction. Exception carved out of the Growth Management Act at the behest of Southwest Washington legislators a session or two ago. So this is something I'm wondering if we want to look at. This public comment is due by the 13th of this month. It seems to me that in terms of the source of industrial stormwater and the associated pollutants, it's pretty serious. It's well within our wheelhouse, in addition to additional train traffic, which is also a pretty good source of pollutants as well, and known effects on groundwater and so on, in addition to loss of farmland and development. We know the materials that seem in the county don't show anything about water resources. All it shows is tax lots and transportation. So I don't know what our role would be or how we stick our nose into this. So far it's just been part of the planning commission, but it seems to me that this is pretty serious in terms of water resources and potentially serious in terms of water resources. It's hard for me to say in an educated fashion because there's no water resources shown on the material by this line. So I don't know what folks think about this.
My initial thought about it is it's kind of outside our charging documents as a group, but like you, I'm concerned as a citizen. And I wonder if that's one way that we can contribute during public comment to the citizens, that as members of the Water Commission, I don't know if we can say as members of the Water Commission, but as, you know, people concerned about water, we can't find any information in their documents about water sources. So, I mean, certainly, I would want to push the commission to get that information. When is the meeting?
The Shalachie Prairie Rail
Development. Is
that
the
next
to
commission? Oh, the 13th. Shalachie,
CHELATCHIE. So usually when they send out public comments, it's all the other agencies and neighborhood associations.
Right.
So I don't see why Oh. We couldn't. Well.
Is our county staff coming? Have they come? I don't know. Nobody's talked about it. But I'm not
sure. Is it public comments on the environmental documents or?
But the zoning proposals go first.
Yeah.
The way this sometimes happens is that the zoning proposals go first, and then the question is about the impacts and the environmental documents, and it said that the zoning passed.
Right.
And so it must be okay.
Right.
So it's good to, if there are any concerns, or just to remind people that these are things that need to be thoughtfully, addressed. Because I'm not sure that anybody has ever addressed issues of runoff from the railroad, let alone development around it. So, on the other hand, if you have a facility, an asset like the railroad, and you need jobs in Southwest Washington, in part to alleviate transportation issues, there may be ways to leverage that with bystanders around all of the units.
So what do you think, someone would want to volunteer just to stand up and pose a question just to be on record? Would that be appropriate? From the group, or better as a concerned citizen?
Appropriate. Sort of like to know what staff has, found out or how they commented.
So I can ask and see.
Being brought up in an area of the subject area of transportation that's a little bit out of the scope, so bringing it up as a concerned citizen is probably the better way to go. I've been deeply involved. If there was a pile of crap, I'm underneath it on the bottom. And I understand that issue so deeply that one of the things that I've been doing, and it's out of the scope of this particular forum too, but I'm pushing a number of individuals and electeds to move in the direction of a bi-state compact between Oregon and Washington. And I know that Annette Cleveland is working pretty heavily to get funding for some things just for the I-5 grid. All of these things are, to a certain extent, interconnected, and it's a much bigger issue. And as you probably are aware, the business community had a meeting about the transportation-related issue just about a week and a half ago or so. I wish I had heard about it. I would have been there. There were about 175 people in the business community, and they were all clamoring to get a fix on some of the transportation-related issues. But I'm not certain how that comports or connects to either the Conservation District or to the clean water component, other than the don't drip and drive kind of a thing. And because funding is a big deal, especially for those kinds of projects, and if anybody wants to know more about that or see the documents that I've, legal documents and bills that I've written, then I'm glad to share them with you. But it's outside of the context of our engagement in this particular role here.
Josh, are you interested in not
Yeah, and I don't recall off the top of my head when the city council or the county council got a meeting on this. It's announced it's after the 13th.
Oh, right. But they take the comp, they take the comments first. So
there's been other hearings. Yes, I am interested
in that. So there are two questions. One is, should there be comments? And second, then, should there be an appearance in the meeting to follow up on the comments?
Or if you just comment, you're just mailing it in and it's getting put in a pile.
You email it in.
If you're at the hearing itself, you get to stand up and ask your question. Right? And it's
so,
like you're more in the public eye.
Yeah, I mean, I'm perfectly in intent to make comment just in the interest of citizens. And so, you know, I think my question is more along the lines of, is this something that maybe we want to investigate? I'm happy to take the lead on that. Or is it outside of what we should be looking at?
Well, our mission is to be good stewards of the watersheds and this watershed in Clark County, and if you say, you know, industrial is a big pollutant. So.
Yeah, I think if the planning division allows projects to proceed through the through their process without addressing stormwater, then that we ought to address, we really ought to address that, because that's a little bit of an anomaly from what I'm accustomed to. Stormwater has to be considered in these large developments. It'd be highly unusual if it's not. So I think if it's not, then we should address it for sure.
The zoning is the first way that it's looked at on a large.
But part of zoning ordinances, though, are to guide one of those elements is stormwater, typically, in my experience.
One of my thoughts to figure what hats wear for it would be questioning just it being a consideration is one thing versus like an opposition. Like if I go to the conservation district meeting, I might just be representing myself, because you may have noticed my opinion on it. So like, I'll just express myself in that situation versus going as a council member or commissioner and being like, this is my position on it. So that would be my thought on it. If you're going and staying in a position, then do that.
Yeah. At this point, I'm more interested in capturing in terms of risks and needs to have examination.
Right.
So water issues, including stormwater in.
That seems to be
the next thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think at this point that would be appropriate. You know, as a written comment, I think that a statement representing the commission, in our commission, is more effective and stronger. But of course, we need to be able to follow up on it and enter into further discussions about what it really means. So.
To that point, I may consider tempering myself for the.
You can do the way.
Tempering myself for the conservation district part of standing in that capacity.
Well, it's a similar thing, though, in that asking questions. It makes the point.
Well, and that was just, I guess, the thing I've been thinking internally in my head was like, do I want to go to that meeting as a rural property owner and really express my opinion on the decision one way or another, or go and inquire more and talk about the effect in the community as a commissioner, and like how I show up in the community is my thought of like how I represent myself.
It seems like you could easily do a two-step or a ramp up, you know, first send a letter. We're wondering how stormwater is being considered at the zoning phase like this. We're wondering what the consideration is. And then at the next phase, when they don't address it at all, they say, we asked you 6 months ago about this, and you didn't work. And now we want to say, this is really a concern.
So then I will take a look at what's available in the county and make some notes. About what's there and what's efficient in terms of what's being discussed at this stage, and then I'll email that to the group and we can figure out more.
So can we get that done before the 13th? Can we find out if there are deficiencies and then draft up a group?
So everything that is being used for decision making should be posted where the public can get access to it, which at this point is not online. So that's something I should be able to do. Pretty readily in terms of getting by the 13 comments together that we're agreed on signing off on, that might be a different story, but we'll see.
Well, and it could be that these are questions.
And that's a public comment. That's not for an appointment advisory commission appointed by the county council. So, you know, I think we want to get it in by the 13th, where they don't know if we necessarily be left out in the cold. Sure, we don't get it in with more of a common data for doing it in our official capacity.
That might be another thing you can check. Staff, whether there's another time that staff and commissions can come on, depending on what time.
And if someone engineer wants to take a look at our bylaws and make sure we would be kind of going outside of our charter, I think that would be a good idea. Just the situation.
Okay, I can do that. And like Janice said, even if it's time is short, just get something simple to start out there before the 13th, and then we could, if we need to pursue it, we could spend more time and energy on it and create something.
This practice is going to be going on for a long time, so we'll have more opportunities to comment, but yes, I think we just trying to point out what you already pointed out, you know, just documents out to the one stormwater.
Yeah.
And I did not do it
for
to be fair, so I'm going to do a deeper dive and make sure. Yeah.
But the maps and stuff, they don't even show anything other than transportation infrastructure and tax law damage.
Because they didn't see us coming.
Well, because they aren't used to doing that, actually, at the zoning level.
Right.
And so even in Oregon, there's use planning and so forth. It's not done at the zoning level.
I'm just going through the process in Oregon, and it is definitely part of that process.
Really?
So you get any kind of change of use, any kind of property, any kind of zoning
use.
But you've got a flag, a stormwater plan. It doesn't have to be a detailed, engineered plan, but you've got to have some thought process in place around how you're going to do stormwater.
Is that for conditional use then?
For conditional use and zoning.
Yeah. This is a like a programmatic master plan. Yeah. And so I think it's a little bit different. But they need to see what's coming along, what's going to be expected. And I did a project with double tracking for a meeting for the railroad. And they're going to have some railroad upgrades as a part of this. Significant water quality management, stormwater management, stream crossings, and all that, and let alone the development associated with it. So,
okay. Anything else to give the group?
I'll send you an email on this just for tally and stuff, but I was in a meeting earlier today with Public Works with regard to bringing some heads together internally, and then some other organizations talking about the bioretention cells and design models for them, starting a lot from the structural engineering standpoint, kind of trying to overcome some of the problems that we face and coming up with better models that work better so that the county can try to implement those and also encourage developers to use those more to alleviate cost over the lifespan of facilities. Yeah, there's some conversation about filters, but I mean, like, even to the most basic level of things, like not putting rock at the inlet. Because it takes, with that simple thing that takes that much more maintenance time compounded over the expansion of it, but they're a little bit more for the cost savings where things of like there's certain design models that might be significantly cheaper for the installation but cause an extra cost in maintenance when you multiply it over the lifespan of the facility makes it actually more expensive than it would have been to spend more to build it at the beginning with the different design models. So looking at some of that, it was nice to see.
Please send that in. Good point. Anytime you do anything, please don't forget to either put it on the draft of our report for next year or just send it to me by the date so I know and I can put in the appropriate month. It's kind of nice that report is just building itself. And here it is September, so we'll take a week of review before we can submit it instead of 3 months.
No, I think I put the original draft of the partners, but I don't think I put in the updates.
Okay, do we want to adjourn this meeting and then just go in our little groups and plan our dates? Or do you want to do that during official time?
Sure.
But before, I've got a few other things to add. So.
I didn't see them there.
Oh, no, I didn't see them in the...
I had order.
It's not on the agenda, no.
No, no, no.
Commission discussion time.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I'll make a comment quick. And on my way in, I grabbed a copy of this, not knowing what was going to be in it. And there's actually a few pages that talk about our efforts and the efforts around clean water. And there's a big sack of them still down there. So on your way out, you might want to pick one up.
Yeah, it's a really nice publication.
Yeah.
They did a good job with it, yeah.
So I was just going to, there are a number of tidbits. First, so anyone whose term is expiring at the end of this year, so Janice, Holly,
Jeremy.
Yeah, and Jeremy. So I'll be sending you guys an email, but just because if you're wanting to, you're letting me know of your interest to continue on the commission. So just be open for that. And that I'm aware that your expirations are at the end of this year. So, and then we have a new county manager, Sean Hennessy. I don't know if you've heard. So he started at the end of July. He came from Missouri. Seems to be hitting the ground running. We also, in Public Works, have a new deputy director, Ahmad Kiyumi. And he started as of yesterday, and then as of next week, he will actually be our interim Public Works director because Steve Henderson is leaving. So, yeah, lots of changes. And then I also have, I applied for and was hired as Jane's replacement. So we are currently hiring for my replacement. So the program, so then that person who will be the program assistant will be the new staff liaison. To the Clean Water Commission. I will certainly be involved at the next meeting to assist in kind of with the transition, but I will then be transitioning out as a liaison. So.
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations.
That's bad for us.
Congrats. I'm really disappointed.
So I basically I'm education and outreach program. So and then I'm also also financial budget
stuff. Oh, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah. So, and Eric, I supervise Eric. When did you say
Congratulations.
Thank you. Our list of partners we have to talk with you, so give you a little time to come back around.
You won't see the end of us.
No, I will be visiting at the very least, but yes, on to other things. So, also, because once Jane left in June, I have been taking on some of her responsibilities, even before her position was posted. That's why I also have been spread a little thin. So I apologize if I have not gotten to everything as timely, but so it'll be great once having the program assistant on as well and getting them up to speed and really then being able to have just that much more energy.
When would that position be posted?
So it is posted now. The first review was yesterday, I'm hoping for interviews by the middle of this month, and then make a decision by the end of the month. So,
So it's still open.
Yeah.
So I have candidates to the first interview to refer.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
I guess my understanding is that if the first review we ended up coming up with someone for sure, then we might close it. But at this point, it's not my understanding that that they're still definitely open for more applications. And yeah, so that's.
I have Andrea.
Yeah.
So I know that for the past year or so, I haven't actually resided in Clark County, and I reside just now on the border between Clark and Tulloch. Now, going forward, I don't believe that I will be entering back into Clark County. So I would like to finish up my term, and I probably won't be renewing. I'll probably see some other venture in the county that I do reside in. So.
Oh, okay. So yeah, then noticed that enough. So yeah, then thank you. But we can also continue, or I'll. Correspond with you via email.
Okay. And I fully intend on attending the next meeting. I have some, questions for you guys. I'd like to pick your brain one more time. I get any advice that you might give.
Yeah, that's
good. Regarding mainly, so you guys, I read the newspaper a lot, and as far as the partnership and outreach goes, I haven't, the contacts have been slim to nil. The conservation district, the Department of Ecology, there's been a few emails back and forth, but other than that, as far as contacts go, it's been hard. But I've noticed, and I'm wondering, I didn't really hear the rest of the conversation unless it was Eric or you, Andrea, talking. But there's been a lot going on with the red tides and the algae blooms and the ocean temperature warming stemming from the Gulf of Mexico, over to our town within a month. And I know that there's a lot of the pesticides are kind of a main thing with that, which I don't know if Eric is still there or not, but I know that is definitely something that should be combated. But I'm also noticing a lot of the applications for the permit waivers are non-significant from the larger corporations being posted in the papers, and I would like to attend those. I was wondering if the council has any recommendations or thoughts on that.
Not that I'm aware of, and especially because you're talking about water quality that
in a global sense, yeah, and just at large.
Right. So also I'm wondering, so are you asking for other commissioners here their input?
If anybody has, because I do plan on attending either way, I want to familiarize myself with that area of business, I guess, and I found it just, it's hard to kind of break down and understand, but this is something that I think needs to be looked at. So again, I fully intend on attending in November, working hopefully. I was wondering if anybody else has noticed or read the report, if these are any concerns that you guys have felt, and if this is something that, I don't know, I know that I really don't eat okay, but if this was being addressed at all, as far as the pesticides, the larger corporations asking for the non-significant permit, or the algae bloom going over the tide, anything like that, coming to our town.
Holly, this is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
I think the permits and finding the significant impact that you're talking about are probably have to do with state level water quality permits rather than county level actions. But I'm happy to dig into that a little bit with you in November
Great, thank you.
And give you some info. I think probably what
you're talking about would be something that you would want to attend hearings that the State Department of Ecology did, if these are state
right.
permits. So I can. I'm
but the city council approved those, isn't that correct? They approved the permit.
It depends on what the permits are. So without more information, it's hard for me to say, but I'm happy to help.
Yeah, it would be strictly one of the significant environmental stormwater runoff. I mean, usually those are what the only permits that I take to do things.
Okay. So if there's city permits, you talk to the, you go to the city, they should have public hearings about water permits. So you would want to go to those hearings and give testimony there, and if it's state-level permit, then the Department of Ecology would have to have a local hearing, and you would want to attend those.
Now, just even understanding the permit itself, is that something that you could help me with?
Probably.
All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Great, you guys. Thank you.
Okay. I hope you make it into November.
Sorry, what was that?
Well, we hope to see you in November.
I can't hear you, Marie.
She's very quiet.
hoping to see you in November.
Yes, I hope to see you all too. Sorry, I didn't make it tonight.
Hey. At least you called in. Thank you.
Hey, Andrea, I have one more question. So near me, outside of Washougal, within the county area, just east of Washougal, there's an quarry that's been reopened, the Zimberly Quarry. And there have been rumblings and accusations of failure to get permits or failure to meet permits in regard to, I think, land use, but definitely accusations about water permit issues. Do you know anything about that quarry?
I haven't heard anything specifically, but I believe in Public Works, Linda O'Leary is who deals with quarry-related. It's either, but I can look into it. It used to be Linda O'Leary, and I'm not sure if she is still the contact for that, but I can look into who the right contact would be for you.
Okay.
If you're in the moment
of that. Is that the really site in the city? Yeah. Are they
west of the border there? It's west. If that's the quarry that I'm thinking about. Sorry. Where Evergreen jumps into Highway 14.
Yeah.
And Gibson Road is just a little bit west of there. You can definitely see that there's been a lot of dump trucks hauling soil and gravel because they're wearing grooves in the pavement on eastbound Evergreen. But neighbors, of course, are complaining about it because all of a sudden they have a bunch of trucks rumbling past them. But, for instance, Columbia Gorge and others have said that there are permit issues and water permit issues. So I'm curious and want to cover that with this. So Linda O'Leary, you just need to find out who you
I'll make sure that it really is still.
Yeah. Okay. And I may have the name of the quarry wrong, but it's the just east of Washougal.
Okay.
On some avenue, one of the number of avenues that you never but it goes right on to Evergreen. It goes on to Evergreen.
Okay. Okay. Anything else?
I just say that it will be interesting to see how we transition from this drought into the rainy season next year. And there could be significant water quality impacts as a result of runoffs or rise.
It would be interesting because I think you can use the kind of report card just how effective all these processes that we have in place are really working. So we had a massive COVID die off on the first rain, and there's something not right. So about this picture here. So.
We'll take care of that algae field.
Exactly.
One silver line.
Solve one problem.
fertilizer.
It's a big one. Insecticides too.
Oh.
Everybody is doing his graduate. One of my coworkers is doing his graduate work on studying insecticide usages and stuff. Folks sprinkle around in the summertime, keep ants out of their house, and the rain comes and sends it into the creek and kills all the macro vertebrates.
Okay. Should we adjourn the meeting and then get in our groups and pick some dates? Is that for everyone? Okay, meeting is adjourned. Motion? Thank you.